Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very happy, happy, happy 4th of July Eve to everybody. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, the Wednesday edition. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Dallas with the San Diego Padres. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios as we get things underway for the next couple of hours, talking some sports with you, getting you ready for the holiday weekend. I realize it's not a four-day holiday weekend for everybody out there. As a matter of fact, for you, Tony Gwynn Jr., it's a no-holiday weekend. You'll be working every single day, but you will get to come home from Dallas tomorrow and then have some home cooking over the weekend as the Padres will get ready to host the Arizona Diamondbacks. I bring all of this stuff up because I'd rather pretty much talk about anything than last night's 7-0 loss to the Texas Rangers. There wasn't a whole lot of good in that one.
Well, first, I'm going to correct you on one thing. I'm actually not working this weekend. I have that series off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, things are looking up. Things are looking up.
It was a rough one yesterday. You know what's funny is I got to talk to a bunch of people I really enjoy talking to. I got to talk to Max Scherzer for a good 30 minutes. He did most of the talking.
Yeah.
I got to visit my good friend Will Venable. Who proceeded to tell me, you know, how this team, they're struggling this year because they just don't slug. They don't slug at all.
The Rangers.
And the Rangers don't do that. And then I got to speak to Boach, for a little bit, which is always, a treat to get a chance to spend. I didn't get to spend too much time because, he was kind of busy. But then the game started and all the Rangers did was slug. I think they had like two singles in the whole game. Everything else was doubles, triples, and home runs. And
yeah, so, they had, was it six extra base hits against Dylan Cease, which is a season high. So
yeah, that was tough to watch. I mean, obviously, on one end, Dylan just couldn't command anything.
Just what you talked about yesterday, Tony. I kept thinking about it as I was watching the game because when he was hitting his spots, he was getting his strikeouts. But too often, that ball was landing in the middle of that box. And when it lands there, it doesn't stay there very long.
The other thing, he was seemingly more frustrated than I've seen him in any of his starts. Like, you could see it in his face. Like, he was just irritated with himself. And it started out as just being fastball command. And when I say command, it's not just not being able to throw strikes, but what kind of quality strikes are you throwing, right? And he couldn't, with the fastball, it was early. But then it like morphed into everything. He couldn't throw the slider by the third. It seemed like he had completely kind of lost the feel for that. He landed another one of those changeups, only he landed it in the wrong spot because Lowe ended up hitting it out in his first two-run shot of that game. And it's just, so that's where it started. Offensively, they didn't get much going. Nathan Eovaldi was in, like, playoff form.
Yeah, I know. He must have heard me.
He was in playoff form. And so it looked like a team that was coming off an off day, even though both of them were. One team looked like it. The other team did.
You know, I go back to one particular pitch in that game, and you talk about the frustration of Dylan Cease, and I know that when I pitched,
you seem like you used to wear your emotions on your sleeve.
I did. You know, you never saw me
throwing
pitch.
Throwing his hat on the ground.
Right. You never saw me pitch, but you got it down exactly, Tony. And he struck out low on a beautiful, I think it was a slider, right at the bottom of the zone on a 2-2 pitch. And he had him struck out. That was strike three, and he didn't get the call. And I don't know that that would have frustrated me, although he would have been perturbed. But then again, when you, you know, two pitches later, you throw that changeup and hits it out of the ballpark. Now, that can start to build on me. And I don't have any idea whether this happened to Dylan Cease or not last night, because I'm not, you know, in his head. But you talked about him having a frustration. That would frustrate me to no end, and it'd be very difficult for me to shake that off. And I think that that's probably one of the things, as I look back on my pitching career, I could have done a whole lot better, you know, trying to put things out of my mind and go back to work. But when the umpire, in your mind, basically gives them a two-run home run, a lot of times that can stay with you for another two or three innings, and by that time you're out of the game.
Without question. And listen, I want to make clear, we're speculating. We don't know that it's true. It's
That's
just
right,
this
right.
is how this is how it appeared when you were watching it. It's very similar. It's exactly the same as when a hitter takes a 1-1 pitch that he deems as a ball. It's called a strike, right? And it changes the count from 1-2 or from 2-1 to 1-2. And then you may foul the next pitch off, and then you strike out on a pitch that you swing at that's in that similar spot that you already think is a ball. Everything in your being wants to just turn around and curse the umpire.
Strangle the umpire.
Right, because you're frustrated because you feel like he contributed to that strikeout.
Yeah, no question.
But you can't. You know, I watch guys on a daily basis almost have that conversation with themselves in real time. Like as the whole thing unfolds, you can see them as they're gathering themselves to walk to the dugout. There's a piece of them that wants to turn and say whatever expletive they can possibly get out. But I mean, it just seemed like yesterday Cease was a little more frustrated than other. And you see guys go through this, right? Because every day, you're not going to have your best stuff every day. You're not going to have your best command. But a good example of is Michael King. Like, he's been in that spot a few different times where he's given up runs early. And he just, you know, you can see the frustration mounting, but there's a point where you got to make a decision whether you're going to remain frustrated or you're going to start, like, trying to, you know, figure out a way. And, you know, I think Nathan Eovaldi at one point was like, there's a couple pitches he threw where he walked, like, around the mound. He was really irritated. He didn't even receive the ball back from the catcher. He was just back there making that decision in real time. All right, am I going to stay frustrated or am I going to try to figure this out? And clearly he figured it out. Dylan wasn't able to. And, you know, the Padres have another shot at it today.
Yeah, you know, I want to go back to this, you know, the pitch that wasn't called a strike. Because, again, if you look at it, it was clearly a strike. Yeah, it was there. So let's go now to the world where we have the, you know, the automated umpire, whether that happens in a couple of years or not. And that would be overturned, or the Padres could challenge it and it would be called a strike. I think a lot of Padre fans, after what happened last night, would say, yes, that's the way it should be. I want the automated umpire. What I think of when I see something like that happen is that's exactly why I don't want the automated umpire, because I want to see great athletes overcome a little bit of something that doesn't go their way. And I think that that's part of, you know, being great is being able to, you know, come back and execute the next pitch and throw it where you want to and get the out that you feel you should have gotten on the pitch before. I mean, to me, it's a lot like basketball. I look at, you know, Luka, for example. This guy gets a call that goes against him and he's mad about it for about 2.5 quarters. Other guys get a call that go against him. I don't know, example of a player, whether it's Kobe or Jordan or somebody, but they just give me the ball and I'll score the next time. And
that doesn't mean they don't disagree and that they're not irritated about it, but it they have to just move to the next play.
That's right. And I think that, you know, again, we're speculating here because maybe Dylan Cease just moved right on to the next pitch and, you know, just didn't make the pitch he wanted to anyway. But I think it's a great example of, you know, sports doesn't always go your way. In golf, I mean, we all know this one, Scrabe. You know, you hit a shot that you think's good, and it's bouncing up toward the green, and it's going to be right there, and it hits something and caroms over into the sand trap. And now you're in the sand trap through no fault of your own.
You know what I've been saying on the golf course? Hang with them.
Well,
that's what I.
And if you can, do that, then hopefully you can go into the sand trap and hit a good shot and, you know, get out of there. But
right,
this is what I like in what happened last night, and this is why I don't want and don't need perfection from, you know, balls and strikes. I know it's probably going to come. I know I'm trying to stop something from happening, but I just think it's part of the world. I mean, in everyday life, things don't go your way. Some guy gets in front of you in that lane and you miss a red light, or a green light turns red, and now you're stuck for 5 minutes because this guy made a stupid decision in front of you.
Oh,
you have to still drive the car. You know, it's annoying as hell, but what can you do?
Like the guy who's in front of you not paying attention, and then he pays attention when the light turns yellow. He goes, you're stuck still.
Yes.
Yeah, like that's irritating. I want nothing more than to just run through this light.
Of course.
But I can't do it.
That's
can't
right. So anyway, it's a life lesson for everybody. I don't know again that it's going to change Major League Baseball. I may be making too much out of it, but I thought it had a lot to do with what happened last night. So.
I will say that, you know, you got the ABS system that they're talking about, it will be more like a couple mulligans. Like, they're not going to be able to do it all game, but there'll probably be a key spot they save it for. So you won't have to deal with too much perfection. Just a couple times,
right.
You got to change it up.
You know, now you look back on this game, and you would have said, "Well, the Padres definitely would have challenged that one because it turned out to be
thing,
a big
though.
Call."
But
in a normal course of events, they might not have because it was only the first.
Exactly, because it's in the first. It's like, do we really want to give up one of our challenges here in the first?
Yeah. So it would have been something to think about. All right. Texas wins 7-0. The Padres, I hadn't realized this. I knew they'd done well at Globe Life Field, but they'd beaten the Rangers 11 times in a row. So that streak goes out the window. Hopefully they can start a new one tonight. And in order to do that, I think they're going to probably have to score some runs. They're going to have to get the offense going a little bit. You've got Adam Mazur on the mound. Love to get, you know, 6 shutties from him, but he hasn't shown that ability yet. So, you know, offensively, they got to get
going. They gave him incredible offense last time he was out. So, that went a long way in aiding in his first
He got his first
there.
Win, yeah. So hopefully they can get the offense going. But for 2 days at least, this red-hot, or 2 games, this red-hot Padre offense has been cooled down. And like you said, Tony, you can't even complain about anything offensively last night because there was nothing. There was no chance. I mean, they got, you know, a single with 2 outs in the 3rd inning. They got a single in the 9th inning. That's pretty much it. You could DVR fast forward through that offensive attack last night. So that does happen from time to time, and we'll see what happens. Now, as far as I want to go back to you talking, you know, you dropped some names, so we got a minute or two. I mean, first of all, Will Venable, what did he say about the Rangers and why they've stopped? I mean, other than the slug, because this is a World Series team. I mean, you know, how frustrated are they right now over there?
You know, they don't show frustration, and I think that has to do with their manager, right? Because, you know, they're playing the long game. You know, they think they still have a chance. He said they've played pockets. Like, he said they have consistently had, like, 3 or 4 game stretches like yesterday. But then it's like a couple weeks of the stretches they've had, which is why they sit below, you know, 500, well below 500 at this point.
Right.
And so, you know, they have a couple some injuries. The young kid, was it Evan?
Carter.
Gosh. Evan Carter.
Yeah.
He's dealing with a back injury. He was one of their big guys. You know, some of the veterans are struggling a little bit. Simeon's sitting 230 in the middle of a really bad slump. You got Corey Seager been, you know, kind of banged up in and out of the lineup. You know, they got a lot of things going on, but, you know, as you saw yesterday, plenty capable of doing it. As we saw yesterday, the other interesting conversation I had was with Max.
Yes, I wanted to get to that for sure. He's always got an opinion on something.
Max, you know, Max, if you have an ear, he's willing to check. And he reminds me of my dad. Like, when they get on a subject that they're passionate about, you don't have to ask too many questions. They'll do most of the talking.
Right.
And we got to talking about his health, and he's, you know, Padres will get him on Thursday. You know, and he said he's finally feeling right. And we started to get into why he was feeling bad, and we got into the whole sticky ball situation. And it was just so interesting to hear from him why he's so passionate about MLB's crackdown and what it had. Because it sounds like, you know, position players reacted, and he said, you know, rightfully so, to the spider tech.
Yeah.
Even though everybody wasn't using it, there were a lot of guys using it, and I think everybody acknowledges that that is a bridge too far, right? Because I asked him, I was like, have you ever touched this stuff before? Because I never touched it before. He was like, dude, it's ridiculous. Like, these guys had no business using that stuff. But typically what happens when there's a correction is usually an overcorrection. And, you know, that means you're not able to use anything. And so, you know, the hard part is China is trying to figure out what's too sticky, what's not sticky enough. And, you know, his opinion on, and it sounds like there's a bunch of doctors who believe the same thing, is that because they can't use sticky stuff, what ends up happening is they end up gripping this ball even harder.
Too tight.
And they're gripping it so tight that now it's causing injury on, you know, to a lot of these elbows and different things that we see pretty consistently now. And it was just interesting to hear, you know, what the solution is, because, you know, there are a bunch of issues with, you know, the having the ball pre-sticky, right, that I didn't even think of. Like, how does – apparently the ball in Japan doesn't perform well. That sticky ball doesn't perform well in cold weather. Like, if it's warm, it's fine. If you're in a cold place, and then now – so now you're worrying about the consistency of these baseballs. And, you know, and that's a problem in itself. And so, you know, it's sounds like it's going to be a. I mean, this is how Major League Baseball is going to legislate it for now, in terms of if umpires check you, and if umpire A deems what umpire C didn't deem sticky, guess what? You're suspended for 10. You got to come out. That's just because there really is no way to cipher. Okay, is this just screen and shaving cream? Is this just sunscreen and some pine tar, whatever it is, or is this something more? And there's really no way to police that. And so it was, he went on for about 30 minutes just going off about the whole situation. I was just an ear to listen to, but he brought up some good points that I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, they are good. And, you know, to hear him talk and realize, look, this is a 3-time Cy Young Award winner. It's a guy with over 3,000 career strikeouts, 200-plus wins, etc. Shouldn't baseball, and I'm talking about Manfred and, you know, the rule makers that are there, shouldn't they bring some of the players in on some of this stuff before they legislate? Because I would think somebody like Scherzer, even if we're not, you know, if you out there are not a big Scherzer fan or whatever, I would still think his input should mean something. You know, he's been around the game long enough to where I think you should listen to what he has to say before you make decisions sometimes.
But here's the kicker, because I think we both came to the same conclusion. Like, ultimately, he said the teams don't necessarily really – they like it the way it is. Why? Why do they like it the way it is? Well, because it's cheaper, right? What they have figured out in being able to add velocity nowadays, right? It's just like a cattle farm, right? If one guy goes down, you got another guy coming right behind him. And as he had a great phrase for it, we're already headed towards these 3-inning aliens, as he called them. Like, they because they're only having to go 3, and because they are just going to continue to bring these relievers in, which I think has contributed to the offense being down. And so there's a lot of, I guess, micro problems that baseball still has to work out.
Max Scherzer and Tony Gwynn Jr. are going to change the game as we know it someday, hopefully. All right, we'll take our first break. We're here for a couple of hours today. Tony's in Dallas. Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station. Padres Rangers Game 2 coming up a little later on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, rolling into a Wednesday on New Year's.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm 6 months behind. 4th of July Eve. July 3rd, not January, Chris. 2:25 is the time, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Dallas. He'll rejoin us in a little bit. Of course, Tony's getting ready for the broadcast tonight. He and Jesse will have it for us as the Padres look to get back on track in Game 2 against the Texas Rangers. Sam Levitt's pregame show precedes the ball game at 4 o'clock. This afternoon, following our program, Kennedy Landry, fine MLB.com writer, covers the Rangers, will be our guest on the program in a little bit. Find out a little insight into what our old friend Bruce Bochy is up to these days.
Lots of losing.
Well, it's not going their way this year, you know?
I say that as the Padres get beat by them last night.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the Padres, you put the stat up here, Scraby, which I think is a very interesting one. It was a tweet from Codify.
Oh, yes, yes,
or
yes.
Codify or Codify?
I'm not sure, but either way.
Yeah, they list here in Major League Baseball, there are four teams that have six players who have an OPS of better than 700. And the four teams are Baltimore, mm-hmm. which is one of the slugging teams yeah. in all of baseball. The Dodgers.
Makes sense.
Makes sense, but, you know, they're the Dodgers. The Astros, who are not having a great year, but we know how, you know, they can hit.
Yeah.
And then the Padres.
I know.
The Padres are the fourth team on that list. They have six guys with an OPS of better than 700, Profar and Tatis are over 800. Merrill, Jake, Manny, Ha-Sung Kim. And you know what's interesting about that statistic, Scrib? It doesn't include the guy who had the second best slugging percentage in all of baseball in the month of June. That guy being Kyle Higashioka. Yes.
He had such a great month that he didn't do enough to get him above that?
Well, he doesn't qualify. He doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify for the OPS stat.
But he would be the seventh.
He would be another guy. Let me see. Let me make sure of that. Because Higashioka was way down there for quite a while, right? Let's not forget. No, his OPS is 751. So he would be over the 700 mark. He just doesn't have enough to qualify. Solano's 732.
So there's eight if
and
they
he's
qualify.
Over. You know, where is Arise? 741. But Arise That's his Padres statistic, 741. So you have six guys who qualify, three other guys who don't qualify for one reason or another. That's nine. That's your whole lineup.
Which makes this season so much more strange, as it always does, Chris, because...
Yes, why don't we have a better record?
Exactly!
I know.
It's so frustrating.
And how do things like last night happen? Where they didn't sniff a drop in that game.
Can we chalk that up
is not the right phrase, but the other one is not suitable.
Can we chalk that up to just a night against a really good pitcher?
Yeah, Eovaldi was on. He was on point. You know, we talked about that box that they put up there on the strike zone. He was hitting the lines of the box all night long. I mean, there was just no pitches in the middle of the plate. And to that end, Padres lineup is out for tonight's game. Scrabe,
hold on.
And
hold on.
Padres are making some adjustments here. Thank you. Padres are taking out of the lineup tonight one of the two guys who got a hit last night. Yeah, Bryce Johnson's going to sit tonight. And as I discussed yesterday, David Peralta will be. I've been surprised Peralta hasn't gotten more time out there. I think he's a much bigger offensive threat than Bryce Johnson at this point. But
is
the Padres. I think so. I do.
He's got the veteran bat.
I've been, reasonably impressed with Peralta to this point. You know, nothing to really write home about. But anyway, he's going to be in there tonight. And otherwise, the lineup is pretty much the same with Arise, Profar, Cronenworth, Manny, Solano, Merrill. I think he even went 0-for-3 last night. Like, Eovaldi was so good, he struck out Jackson Merrill twice. Peralta, Kim, and Higashioka, the nine, tonight against John Gray, former Rocky, who, if I'm not mistaken, and Scrabe, I don't feel like looking this up right now, used to shove against the Padres
when
he pitched against them.
Let me see.
Back in the day with the
Colorado Rockies.
Oh, you mean
a National League West mediocre pitcher who used to shove against the Padres?
I'm pretty sure he used to be very good against the Padres. I could be mistaken if you feel like looking that up. Game two of the series is coming up this evening. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Frozen Ropes Baseball and Softball Training Facilities. Frozen Ropes now signing up athletes ages 6 through 12. For baseball and softball summer camps, half-day, full-day options are available. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer. For more information, visit sandiegofrozenropes.com. That would be sandiegofrozenropes.com. I believe the name of this company has to do with hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
I think
Frozen
so.
Ropes.
Yeah, you've never heard that before,
com.
Chris?
Yes, I have.
He hit a frozen rope to the outfield.
No, we used to say that you hit the ball so hard on a line that you could hang your laundry from it.
That's a good one.
But that's kind of an old-fashioned one, right? Because not too many people really hang their laundry from a...
I do.
You do?
I don't hang it from a line, but I do air dry some of my clothes.
Do you air dry from time to time?
I have his stats, John Gray.
John Gray against the Padres.
Yes.
When he was with the Rockies, what's he got?
25 games.
25, so a big sample size.
A batting average against .231.
Not very much.
No. 15 homers, 7 stolen bases.
What was his ERA?
Or the ERA, I'm looking for it.
Oh. Am I going to have to look this up for you?
No, like they have all the stats except for ERA.
John Gray.
Here's earned runs from like a total... perspective, 48 earned runs he's given up.
All right. Well, in 25 games?
Yeah.
That's not very many.
No.
So, with Scraby not doing a very good job of this...
What are you talking about? I went to the opponent. They don't have the ERA listed.
All right. I'm going to have to just find this for you.
I can't wait till you go and find the opponent section and you don't see the ERA listed.
Against the San Diego Padres... In his career, 12-6, 2.99.
Where did you find this?
Gee, that took a long time.
Where did you find this? I'm looking at Baseball Reference.
25 starts, or
where
25
did you find
games.
This?
He had John Gray started 24 times against the Padres, 144 innings. He struck out 159 against the Padres. He has a whip of 1.099. He's 12-6, 2.99. So I think that backs me up. He's very good against the Padres.
I believe you just made that up.
Or certainly has been. I'll show you. during the break, when we come back, Kennedy Landry, the latest on Boch and the Rangers, when Gwen and Chris resumes. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in the Odyssey Palace Studios, Tony Gwynn Jr., getting ready for tonight's broadcast, he and Jesse, for Padres-Rangers, Game 2 of a three-game series. John Gray, 12-6, 2.99 career against the Padres. Some of us can actually look that up. Some of us can't.
Oh, my gosh.
Adam Major will start for the Padres tonight as he continues to fill in for the whatever happened to Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish used to pitch for the Rangers. Speaking of the Rangers, we're really excited to have on the program Kennedy Landry, writer for MLB.com. Nice enough to fit us into her busy schedule today. Kennedy, how are you? Thanks so much for popping on with us here.
I'm good. Happy to be here. How are y'all?
We are all good.
Except for last night's result, but well, you're feeling better than us.
We can live with that. We really don't go that. Yes, we do. We get that upset when they lose and that happy when they win. To that extent, the people in Texas this year, how have they handled the results to this point? I mean, I've always said that if the Padres won a World Series finally, they could, you know, I wouldn't care if they won another game for 5 years. But, you know, the Rangers win their World Series, but now this kind of season's happening. Are the fans being patient or are they getting upset?
Oh, no, the fans are not patient at all out here in Arlington, I can tell you that. I had a lot of people in my mention go on Twitter, you know, after the World Series, like, oh, I don't care what happens. I don't care going into the off season and spring training and, you know, the first 7-game losing streak of the year and everything goes downhill. Everything goes out of the window. So I would not say that the fans are taking this 7 games under 500 very well, but there's a group of professionals in the clubhouse. Bruce Bochy, obviously, at the helm. They know what they're doing. It's a lot more calm and optimistic in the clubhouse than I would say the fan base right about now.
Yeah, what was it like after they won their – because the Rangers had been real close to winning that World Series. I mean, the Nelson Cruz year comes to mind quickly. You know, and then they had another World Series appearance. I mean, to actually win it – in a city where, you know, frankly, the Dallas Cowboys are king, you know, where you've got the Mavs, you've got the Stars, and, you know, the Rangers were I think, probably at least king for at least a couple of days. What was it like there to win one? Because we still don't know here.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun for me as a reporter who didn't, you know, grow up in this area. You know, obviously, everybody knows Dallas Cowboys are who they are. They share a parking lot here in Arlington and all of those things. But for a full month, we're in October, right smack in the middle of, you know, football season, the Rangers were king, and it was really great to be able to watch, you know, the parade after the World Series, game one of the World Series, with Corey Seager tied up and Adolis Garcia walks it off. All of those things, beating the Astros in the ALCS, it felt like a baseball town for a good month, and it was a whole lot of fun. It was a great time. You could tell everybody in the Metroplex felt that energy coming out of this ballpark for a while there. So it's hard to explain, honestly, kind of put in words. I know I'm a writer, but especially for a franchise to win their first one after, you know, over 50 years, it was, you know, phenomenal.
We're talking to Kennedy Landry of MLB.com. She covers the Texas Rangers. And I was thinking about Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom because both of them are making a ton of money. And I know that Max Scherzer is back and he's, you know, working himself back into form. But Jacob deGrom is still a little ways out. I'm curious how the fans feel about those two guys right now, because really they haven't contributed up to what they're being paid. And I know that fans like to complain about salaries, and I do too. So what are the fans thinking about those two guys right now?
I think they would feel a little bit different if they didn't win the World Series last year, quite frankly.
True.
If Max Scherzer didn't have such a part in that really down the stretch. And even Jacob deGrom at the beginning of last season, you have to remember that the Rangers got into the playoffs by one or two games. There was a three-way tie in the division. Astros won the tiebreaker, then the Rangers got the tiebreaker over the Mariners for a wild-card spot. So regardless of, you know, what they're getting paid, but Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom, by winning however many. Rangers won all five of Jacob deGrom's starts last year. That meant something down the stretch. And, you know, what Max Scherzer was able to do after the trade and all of those things. So I think, obviously, you want these guys on the field. You want them to be pitching. But I think it would be a lot different if they didn't win the World Series. And it would be a lot different if the Mets weren't handling a lot of Max Scherzer's salary as well. Jacob deGrom is progressing well. He's thrown off the mound. Still has a target date after the trade deadline, so that might as well be the Rangers trade deadline acquisition, to be honest, and things are looking up on that front with Max Scherzer as well. He had two starts, only allowed two runs combined in those, and he'll be pitching in the series finale tomorrow. So things are looking up on the pitching end for the Rangers right now.
Yeah, the Rangers still, I think, have everybody's eye. You know, I think everybody's got their eye on them. I mean, we know they can get hot. The second half, there's a long way to go. Kennedy Landry is with us from MLB.com. All right, Kennedy, I think you're one of the luckiest reporters in all of Major League Baseball because you get to hang around and see on a daily basis one of our all-time favorite people, Mr. Bochy. And, you know, I mean, I know Tony, my partner, was down there, you know, to see him yesterday. And with the Padres in town, I don't know if it's a little extra special for him, but I have a feeling he takes at least a nod toward the other dugout. This is one of the great guys in all of baseball. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame. We interviewed him here at the winter meetings before he ever got down there to Texas. And I would have never thought he was going to win another World Series. I don't even know if it was on his radar. So, you know, just take us through your experience with Bruce, you know, for the last while or so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you guys know being around Bruce Bochy is a blessing for me personally every day, especially as a young reporter, being around a guy who knows how to handle the media, who respects the media's job and all of those things. But I'm going to be honest, you say you don't think winning a World Series is on his radar. I think it was. I think he said, you know, multiple times, and, you know, people laughed at him on social media when he said, you know, I didn't come back here to be a part of a rebuild. He didn't come out of retirement to lose 90 games. Or whatever, I think 90 games was what the Rangers lost the year before. You know, he came back to win. I think he came back with the eye on, you know, not for himself, but he came back to be back into the competition of things. Just have a good time, and winning baseball games is a good time. So I do think that Bruce Bochy came back out of retirement to try to win a World Series, to try to do it for a franchise that has never done it before. Former San Diego Padre Chris Young is the general manager. They have a great relationship, Chris Young is a salesman. He sold Bruce Bochy on a vision of what he was trying to do, and you know, it came true just in 1 year. I don't think Bruce Bochy could have foreseen it happening as quickly as it did come together. But you know, he's a phenomenal manager. You've seen it, you know, in San Diego. You saw it, you know, within the division in San Francisco for all those years, and we're seeing it right now every day, despite the struggles that the Rangers are going through right now. But with Bruce Bochy at the helm, I think anything is quite frankly possible with whatever the Rangers are doing down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, as a former writer myself before I got into this thing, because I wasn't good enough, honestly, as a writer. But you could be, honestly, on a daily basis having to hang out with Tommy Lasorda, and I know he's before your time, or even Aaron Boone on a more current. I mean, it's got to be so nice to know you can go into Boch and he's going to treat you with respect and probably not lose his cool, you know, unless you have to really work to get him off his game.
Yeah, I think that was something I thought, you know, coming in. You know, Chris Woodward was the manager of the Rangers when I started on this beat in 2021, who was a good media manager. You know, the record didn't reflect what anybody would have hoped, but he was a good media manager. So when you bring in Bruce Bochy, who's an older guy, you know, been around for a long time, you honestly don't know what you're going to get with those types of guys. You know, you can get a Tony La Russa when he came out of retirement. You can get a lot of different personalities in this game. And you know, it was a very pleasant surprise. I heard great things about Bruce Bochy, but from the very beginning of spring training last year, you know, through these last 2 years, I mean, he's phenomenal to deal with. I really can't say enough good things about, you know, what we have to deal with us as a beat every day with him.
Talking to Kennedy Landry of MLB.com. She covers the Texas Rangers. And I just want to ask about Nathan Eovaldi, because last night he was amazing. And I just want to ask, is that how he is all the time? Or is it just against the Padres that he's hitting all of his spots?
Oh, no, he knows what he's doing. Nathan Eovaldi has been phenomenal for these last 2 years with the Rangers. We saw it in the postseason last year. He was really a postseason hero for a team that was down, obviously, Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer in the postseason. He became the real ace of this staff once Jacob DeGrom went down last year. And he's looked every bit of it. I know he's had a few hiccups this year, but every pitcher does. And he loves pitching in front of their home crowd. I mean, he's got a sub-2 ERA and 9 starts at home this year. He just seems to be lights out every time he pitches in at Globe Life Field. And I promise he's not bullying the Padres, but when, you know, his splitter's working, when cutter's working, everything kind of plays well off of each other. And he has a great rapport with Kevin Hine behind the plate. The game planning, game calling is phenomenal. And he's a true pro, a true vet. We see it every day.
Last thing, Kennedy, and again, we really appreciate the time. Corey Seager, not in this series. I don't think people can underestimate how much he's meant to that franchise. You know, signing the big contract there, that seemed to me that was the first, you know, the first domino to fall. And then everything else kind of followed. And he certainly, you know, produced when the chips were on the table last year. When's he come back, and how much of a difference does he make as a leader on that team?
Yeah, Corey Seager, obviously not a man of many words, but he shows everything he's got on the field. He's great. World Series MVP, 2-time World Series MVP, 1 time with the Rangers. He got hit with a pitch the other day in Baltimore on his hand, so it's a little bruise. You know, X-rays and MRIs came back clean, so he's still just trying to, you know, make sure he can grip the bat when he's good to go. Bruce Bochy said just, you know, about 30 minutes ago that he's going to talk to Seager before first pitch today. So there may be a lineup change. They may slot him in at DH, but nothing is positive yet. He would not confirm nor deny that. But the Rangers have pretty much taken an NIL stint off the table, it appears, and he should be back maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe this weekend when they face the Rays. But all things considered, it's a great turnout. Nothing's broken. You know, nothing was torn there. So they're definitely hoping to get him back soon.
Kennedy Landry with up-to-the-minute information on the Texas Rangers for us. Hey, thanks, Kennedy. We really appreciate you coming on with us. And hopefully when you guys come to San Diego next year, we'll get a chance to say hi. But thanks again, and I hope to catch up with you down the road. Great job.
Beautiful. Thank you all for having me.
You betcha. There she goes, Kennedy Landry, MLB.com. What a nice young lady. And obviously, you know, she's got it great. I brought up Lasorda. That's another world, another era. We had Larry Boa here in San Diego. He could be so cantankerous. My point being, when you go to work and you don't know if the manager of the team is going to scream at you and yell at you and, you know, basically hold you to a standard of asking perfect questions every day, you know, after 160 games, it can be kind of tough as a beat writer.
I would turn it on him. I would say
you wouldn't.
Are you angry at me because you're actually angry with yourself?
Yeah, I'm sure I could see you saying that to Tommy Lasorda.
No, of course not.
That'd go over real well.
I clam up so fast when we get in those clubhouses.
Exactly. And you know, I mean, and Aaron Boone again. And I'm sure these are great guys. She mentioned La Russa. I think all these guys are terrific, but they have their tempers. They have their moments. I'm sure Bochy has his temper, but it just seems like it would be such a delight to go down to his office, you know, before every game and hang out with Bochy. I mean, that's the way I perceive it.
It's not hanging out. It's like what Mike Schilt does. He comes out into the dugout. You stand there with your arm up and recording his words, and then he walks away.
Nah, I don't know.
But I mean, maybe it's a little bit different with him because that's the only thing I've experienced.
Boch is probably the kind of guy to take Kennedy Landry and her family fishing with him one day. You know, who knows? He's such a he's a gem. Unfortunately, he's on the other side of it tonight. All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. getting ready for tonight's broadcast. He and Jesse for Padres-Rangers, Game 2 of a 3-game series. John Gray, 12-6, 2.99 career against the Padres. Some of us can actually look that up. Some of us can't.
Oh, my gosh.
Adam Major will start for the Padres tonight as he continues to fill in for the whatever happened to Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish used to pitch for the Rangers. Speaking of the Rangers, we're really excited to have on the program Kennedy Landry, writer for MLB.com. Nice enough to fit us into her busy schedule today. Kennedy, how are you? Thanks so much for popping on with us here.
I'm good. Happy to be here. How are y'all?
We are all good.
Except for last night's result, but
well,
you're feeling better than
that. We can live with that. We really don't go that. Yes, we do. We get that upset when they lose and that happy when they win. To that extent, the people in Texas this year, how have they handled the results to this point? I mean, I've always said that if the Padres won a World Series finally, they could, you know, I wouldn't care if they won another game for 5 years. But, you know, the Rangers win their World Series, but now this kind of season's happening. Are the fans being patient or are they getting upset?
Oh, no, the fans are not patient at all out here in Arlington, I can tell you that. I had a lot of people in my mentions on Twitter, you know, after the World Series, like, oh, I don't care what happens. I don't care going into the off season and spring training and, you know, the first 7-game you're losing streak of the year and everything goes downhill. Everything goes out of the window. So I would not say that the fans are taking this 7 games under 500 very well, but there's a group of professionals in the clubhouse. Bruce Bochy, obviously, at the helm. They know what they're doing. It's a lot more calm and optimistic in the clubhouse than I would say the fan base right about now.
Yeah, what was it like after they won their – because the Rangers had been real close to winning that World Series. I mean, the Nelson Cruz year comes to mind quickly. You know, and then they had another World Series appearance. I mean, to actually win it – in a city where, you know, frankly, the Dallas Cowboys are king, you know, where you've got the Mavs, you've got the Stars, and, you know, the Rangers were I think, probably at least king for at least a couple of days. What was it like there to win one? Because we still don't know here.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun for me as a reporter who didn't, you know, grow up in this area. You know, obviously, everybody knows Dallas Cowboys are who they are. They share a parking lot here in Arlington and all of those things. But for a full month, we're in October, right smack in the middle of, you know, football season, the Rangers were king, and it was really great to be able to watch, you know, the parade after the World Series, game one of the World Series, with Corey Seager tied up and Adolis Garcia walks it off. All of those things, beating the Astros in the ALCS, it felt like a baseball town for a good month, and it was a whole lot of fun. It was a great time. You could tell everybody in the Metroplex felt that energy coming out of this ballpark for a while there. So it's hard to explain, honestly, kind of put in words. I know I'm a writer, but especially for a franchise to win their first one after, you know, over 50 years, it was, you know, phenomenal.
We're talking to Kennedy Landry of MLB.com. She covers the Texas Rangers. And I was thinking about Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom because both of them are making a ton of money. And I know that Max Scherzer is back and he's, you know, working himself back into form. But Jacob deGrom is still a little ways out. I'm curious how the fans feel about those two guys right now, because really they haven't contributed up to what they're being paid. And I know that fans like to complain about salaries, and I do too. So what are the fans thinking about those two guys right now?
I think they would feel a little bit different if they didn't win the World Series last year, quite frankly.
True.
If Max Scherzer didn't have such a part in that really down the stretch. And even Jacob deGrom at the beginning of last season, you have to remember that the Rangers got into the playoffs by one or two games. There was a three-way tie in the division. Astros won the tiebreaker, and then the Rangers got the tiebreaker over the Mariners for a wild card spot. So regardless of, you know, what they're getting paid, but Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom, by winning however many – Rangers won all 5 of Jacob deGrom's starts last year. That meant something down the stretch. And, you know, what Max Scherzer was able to do after the trade and all of those things. So I think – obviously you want these guys on the field, you want them to be pitching, but I think it would be a lot different if they didn't win the World Series, and it would be a lot different if the Mets weren't handling a lot of Max Scherzer's salary as well. But Jacob deGrom is progressing well. He's thrown off the mound, still has a target date after the trade deadline, so that might as well be the Rangers trade deadline acquisition, to be honest, and things are looking up on that front with Max Scherzer as well. He had 2 starts
only allowed 2 runs combined in those, and he'll be pitching in the series finale tomorrow. So things are looking up on the pitching end for the Rangers right now.
Yeah, the Rangers still, I think, have everybody's eye. You know, I think everybody's got their eye on them. I mean, we know they can get hot. The second half, there's a long way to go. Kennedy Landry is with us from MLB.com. All right, Kennedy, I think you're one of the luckiest reporters in all of Major League Baseball because you get to hang around and see on a daily basis one of our all-time favorite people, Mr. Bochy. And, you know, I mean, I know Tony, my partner, was down there, you know, to see him yesterday. And with the Padres in town, I don't know if it's a little extra special for him, but I have a feeling he takes at least a nod toward the other dugout. This is one of the great guys in all of baseball. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame. We interviewed him here at the winter meetings before he ever got down there to Texas. And I would have never thought he was going to win another World Series. I don't even know if it was on his radar. So, you know, just take us through your experience with Bruce, you know, for the last while or so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you guys know being around Bruce Bochy is a blessing for me personally every day, especially as a young reporter, being around a guy who knows how to handle the media, who respects the media's job and all of those things. But I'm going to be honest, you say you don't think winning a World Series is on his radar. I think it was. I think he said, you know, multiple times, and, you know, people laughed at him on social media when he said, you know, I didn't come back here to be a part of a rebuild. He didn't come out of retirement to lose 90 games. Or whatever, I think 90 games was what the Rangers lost the year before. You know, he came back to win. I think he came back with the eye on, you know, not for himself, but he came back to be back into the competition of things. Just have a good time, and winning baseball games is a good time. So I do think that Bruce Bochy came back out of retirement to try to win a World Series, to try to do it for a franchise that has never done it before. Former San Diego Padre, Chris Young, is the general manager. They have a great relationship. Chris Young is a salesman. He sold Bruce Bochy on a vision of what he was trying to do. And, you know, it came true just in 1 year. I don't think Bruce Bochy could have foreseen it happening as quickly as it did come together. But, you know, he's a phenomenal manager. You've seen it, you know, in San Diego. You saw it, you know, within the division in San Francisco for all those years, and we're seeing it right now every day despite the struggles that the Rangers are going through right now. But with Bruce Bochy at the helm, I think anything is quite frankly possible with whatever the Rangers are doing down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, as a former writer myself before I got into this thing, because I wasn't good enough, honestly, as a writer, but you could be, honestly, on a daily basis having to hang out with Tommy Lasorda, and I know he's before your time, or even Aaron Boone on a more current. I mean, it's got to be so nice to know you can go into Boch and he's going to treat you with respect and probably not lose his cool, you know, unless you have to really work to get him off his game.
Yeah, I think that was something I thought, you know, coming in. You know, Chris Woodward was the manager of the Rangers when I started on this beat in 2021, who was a good media manager. You know, the record didn't reflect what anybody would have hoped, but he was a good media manager. So when you bring in Bruce Bochy, who's an older guy, you know, been around for a long time, you honestly don't know what you're going to get with those types of guys. You know, you can get a Tony La Russa when he came out of retirement. You can get a lot of different personalities in this game. And, you know, it was a very pleasant surprise. I heard great things about Bruce Bochy, but from the very beginning of spring training last year, you know, through these last 2 years, I mean, he's phenomenal to deal with. And I really can't say enough good things about, you know, what we have to deal with us as a beat every day with him.
Talking to Kennedy Landry of MLB.com. She covers the Texas Rangers. And I just want to ask about Nathan Eovaldi, because last night he was amazing. And I just want to ask, is that how he is all the time? Or is it just against the Padres that he's hitting all of his spots?
Oh, no. He knows what he's doing. Nathan Eovaldi has been phenomenal for these last 2 years with the Rangers. We saw it in the postseason last year. He was really a postseason hero for a team that was down. Obviously, Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer in the postseason. He became the real ace of this staff once Jacob DeGrom went down last year. And he's looked every bit of it. I know He's had a few hiccups this year, but every pitcher does. He loves pitching in front of their home crowd. I mean, he's got a sub-2 ERA and 9 starts at home this year. He just seems to be lights out every time he pitches at Globe Life Field. And I promise he's not bullying the Padres, but when, you know, his splitter's working, when cutter's working, everything kind of plays well off of each other. And he has a great rapport with Kevin Hine behind the plate. The game planning, game calling is phenomenal. And he's a true pro, a true vet. We see it every day.
Last thing, Kennedy, and again, we really appreciate the time. Corey Seager, not in this series. I don't think people can underestimate how much he's meant to that franchise. You know, signing the big contract there, that seemed to me that was the first, you know, the first domino to fall. And then everything else kind of followed. And he certainly, you know, produced when the chips were on the table last year. When's he come back, and how much of a difference does he make as a leader on that team?
Yeah, Corey Seager, obviously not a man of many words, but he shows everything he's got on the field. He's great. World Series MVP, 2-time World Series MVP, 1 time with the Rangers. He got hit with a pitch the other day in Baltimore on his hand, so it's a little bruise. You know, X-rays and MRIs came back clean, so he's still just trying to, you know, make sure he can grip the bat. When he's good to go, Bruce Bochy said just, you know, about 30 minutes ago that he's going to talk to Seager before first pitch today. So there may be a lineup change. They may slot him in at DH, but nothing is positive yet. He would not confirm nor deny that. But the Rangers have pretty much taken an NIL stint off the table, it appears, and he should be back maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe this weekend when they face the Rays. But all things considered, it's a great turnout. Nothing's broken. You know, nothing was torn there. So they're definitely hoping to get him back soon.
Kennedy Landry with up-to-the-minute information on the Texas Rangers for us. Hey, thanks, Kennedy. We really appreciate you coming on with us. And hopefully when you guys come to San Diego next year, we'll get a chance to say hi. But thanks again, and I hope to catch up with you down the road. Great job.
Beautiful. Thank you all for having me.
You betcha. There she goes, Kennedy Landry, MLB.com. What a nice young lady. And obviously, you know, she's got it great. I mean, because, I mean, I brought up Lasorda. That's another world, another era. We had Larry Boa here in San Diego. He could be so cantankerous. My point being, when you go to work and you don't know if the manager of the team is going to scream at you and yell at you and, you know, basically hold you to a standard of asking perfect questions every day, you know, it can, you know, after 160 games, it can be kind of tough as a beat writer.
I would turn it on him. I would say
you wouldn't.
Are you angry at me because you're actually angry with yourself?
Yeah, I'm sure I could see you saying that to Tommy Lasorda.
No, of course not.
That'd go over real well.
I clam up so fast when we get in those clubhouses.
Exactly. And you know, I mean, and Aaron Boone again. And I'm sure these are great guys. She mentioned La Russa. I think all these guys are terrific, but they have their tempers. They have their moments. I'm sure Bochy has his temper, but it just seems like it would be such a delight to go down to his office, you know, before every game and hang out with Boch. I mean, that's the way I perceive it.
It's not hanging out. It's like what Mike Schilt does. He comes out into the dugout. You stand there with your arm up and recording his words, and then he walks away.
Nah, I don't know. Boch,
but, I mean, maybe it's a little bit different with him because that's the only thing I've experienced.
Boch is probably the kind of guy to take Kennedy Landry and her family fishing with him one day. You know, who knows? He's such a he's a gem. Unfortunately, he's on the other side of it tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.